Talking today with Bill Even, Chief Executive Officer of the Pork Checkoff. And Bill, we're here today at the Oklahoma Pork Congress, and you're going to be talking to pork stakeholders here in the state about a new strategic plan that the Pork Checkoff has kind of undertaken. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So the Pork Board and the Pork Checkoff are governed by a 15-member producer board. And they sat down a year ago and said, we really need to take a hard look at where this industry and the food industry is at today, and what do we need to do differently? So the board of directors said, let's start with a blank piece of paper. And if we were going to reinvent the pork checkoff now nearly 35 years after it was started, what would we do and what would that look like? So the board's taken some pretty bold steps to move to an agile organization format, get rid of this era of five-year strategic plans, because we know the world moves faster than that. So that's where the board is at, and we're really excited to deliver that message to producers.
And, of course, this comes as a response to the industry and their wants and needs. And so what were some of those things and concerns that they voiced when they came to you with this proposal?
So there's really two main buckets you'd put it in. It's what are we doing to shape our own future? That means being aggressive, owning issues, getting out in front of it, ignoring the ankle biters, just really developing the space that we need for U.S. pork production. The other part is, what are we doing to protect the today? So these are freedom to operate issues, things related to just day-to-day operations, emerging issues like foreign animal disease and the like. So we really heard loud and clear from over 1,000 people in the U.S. pork industry that we need you to focus on these items, and we're developing those priorities right now.
Yeah. So this is kind of, as you described it, a rolling plan that goes from year to year rather than the old five-year plan stretches that you used to do. So what exactly is the benefit of that? I understand that you're kind of trying to incorporate the entire food production system in this.
Absolutely. So we only produce one thing in the U.S. pork industry, and that's pork. So we have to be connected to the consumer side of things. So the board of directors said, we're going to remain producer-led, but we need this organization to ensure that it's totally consumer-focused from farm to fork. And we need to, I'd say, issue sense and scout out where the consumer is headed for tomorrow. And they look radically different than where we're at today. And we need to make sure that the pork industry is positioned to make money out of that.
So where exactly is the pork industry at right now? And where do you hope that this plan will take it in the future?
So currently, we operate on a very traditional model. You have the board of directors, you've got staff, you've got committees, you work on research projects. The reality is we need to move to something that's more project-based, something that's more focused around task forces. What's on your to-do list, all right? What's item number one? Let's put some money, people, and resources behind that, and let's get her done. And then when we get that knocked off, let's go to the next one. We developed our last plan in 2014, and I tell you what, the world looks a lot different than it did in 2014. So the board wants to make sure that we're able to roll with the punches while still keeping an eye on the future that we need to shape.
Yeah. And of course, you know, like every industry, business moves very quickly. And along with that is the different technology and the markets and everything else that plays into everything. So this is important that this moves at the speed of business. So what techniques are you going to be introducing into this plan to make sure that that happens?
So one of the things we did as a pilot here now going on about 18 months ago was we shifted our domestic marketing efforts for the pork checkoff away from just a lot of generic consumer advertisings on TV and in magazines, and really took a look at what are people searching online when they're asking questions about pork, whether it's how pigs are raised or how to cook or eat pork or how healthy it is for me. So we formed a partnership with Google and are working with YouTube and a lot of really deep background analytics to reach consumers where they live today, and that's on their mobile devices.
Yeah. And you're doing a lot of work in conjunction with that with different influencers and social media people to get in there and really reach a lot of those millennial consumers as well as a bunch of other demographics as well.
Absolutely. We segmented the demographic of the U.S. Consumer really well here with the most robust, in-depth consumer work that we've done in the history of the checkoff. Based on that and based on the analytics that we're getting from our online monitoring and management, we're able to sit down and say, okay, if you're interested in health, or you're interested in barbecue, or you're interested in just how to feed a busy family, we're delivering those insights not only to the supply chain, chain, meaning the packers, processors, grocery stores, and restaurants. We're also delivering it direct to the consumer through YouTube influencers. People are more apt to listen to someone that looks, feels, and resembles them, and we're delivering the messages in that personalized way.
Yeah. And not only are you able, through these different platforms, able to really target your exact audiences that you're trying to market to, but there's a lot of financial benefit to this as well. It's a lot more, you get a lot more bang for your buck, I suppose, than traditional media in certain ways.
Absolutely. You realize that, particularly when you get in presidential election cycles, the cost for advertising on conventional TV medium, be it cable or traditional network television, everything just skyrockets. So our ability to actually engage digitally and granularly look at people and deliver them the information they need when they need it is way more cost effective for the checkoff dollar.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing any results from your efforts in this area right now?
Say one of the big lifts that we've had is our engagement in business-to-business relationships with the packers, the processors, the grocery stores, and the restaurant industry. We've been delivering a lot of these insights around dining at home in America or eating out in America, and our new Hispanic report's coming out in October. When we sit down and talk with folks in the food industry and deliver them insights around consumers and how they like pork, we get a lot of calls to come back. We get calls to sit down and talk about planning, and that's putting the producer's voice right in the middle of that food chain. So no longer are you confined to the farm, but really how is that food chain actually thinking about selling more pork?
Mm-hmm. What does the current demand of pork look like right now, both domestically and internationally, I suppose?
Domestically, we're at a 16-year high now in U.S. pork consumption, right around 50 pounds per person. Internationally, globally, pork is the number one most consumed animal protein. Over 40% of the protein consumed globally is pork. Beef comes poultry comes in mid-low 30s, and beef comes in around the mid-20s. So when you think about pork as a global food, that's really allowed this industry to expand our exports as well.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, demand strength has actually been excellent, really, in the last couple of years for pork internationally with export strength, despite some of the trade barriers that we've been faced with.
You know, the trades and tariff issues are really maybe a bump in the road here that our producers are taking very seriously. It's clear that the statistics show that 20 years ago the United States was a net pork importer. Today we're exporting 27% of our production. So literally one out of every four hogs in the United States is going abroad to feed someone else that really loves pork. And anything that disrupts that trade flow, sends up a caution flag to the industry.
Mm-hmm. How much value do exports bring to the pork industry at the producer level?
So some economic analysis that we've done shows that exports bring about $50 more per pig, and that is fundamentally a huge number. The year end in 2018, the first time we sold $7 billion of global pork exports, and that's money that's coming back here into the United States.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's something that the Pork Checkoff works every day to try to secure and promote around the world to increase that.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we're responsible for is the international marketing efforts for U.S. pork. We work closely with our partner, the U.S. Meat Export Federation, and we're working on a project right now called Pork 2040, or what's the global consumer in various markets going to look like over the next 20 years. We're targeting China, we're targeting Southeast Asia, Latin America, and when you get into some of these markets, even whether they're developing or developed, you really need to be thinking ahead as to where are these folks going to be on the income timeline and culturally, what are their concerns or issues around pork. And so that information we brought back in to help us managing our global marketing programs.
Yeah. And, of course, you bring up China, which makes us all think of the probably one of the number one issues in the pork industry, African swine fever. How has that impacted the pork industry right now, and how is it going to affect the future of it?
So African swine fever is top of mind for every producer, every packer, even people in the retail and the grocery industry. The good news is that African swine fever does not impact people. It only impacts pigs, and it's not going to hurt you or your pets, and pork is safe to eat. But fundamentally, this disease ends up killing pigs, and there's currently no vaccination for it and no cure. So China is home to half the hogs in the world. China is a huge country, 1.3 billion people, and pork is a staple of their diet. But unfortunately, our estimates are showing that probably at least maybe a third of the pigs in China have died of this disease in the past year and a half. Consequently, we're working very diligently to keep this disease out of the United States. And so part of that's the prevention, but the other part is what the checkoff is doing to prepare the industry in the event that we would have a problem.
Yeah. So obviously that people might think that that presents some marketing opportunities for the U.S. in China and some of those other affected countries as well.
Absolutely. We're looking at a global protein hole that we have not seen in the past 100 years. There is a large protein deficit happening globally. And the U.S. pork industry, along with beef and others, are looking at, well, how do we even fundamentally try to supply the needs of people around the world that are looking for nutritious protein in the form of pork? This is presenting some challenges because at the same time we're dealing with the apparent move to ratify the new USMCA agreement with Canada and Mexico. We're in the process of trying to renegotiate a trade deal with Japan, who's a major U.S. pork customer, and then also negotiations with China. And with all the tariffs and everything in the markets now, there's a real pent-up opportunity here for U.S. producers, and they are very anxious to make sure we get these trade deals inked.